Get all the latest news and more for people with sight loss by connecting with RNIB on Facebook and Twitter. Support us on social media for all sorts of extras. And it's a great way of networking with like-minded people. Search for RNIB on Facebook and follow us now on @RNIB. Follow us and find out more about the UK's leading sight loss charity and feel part of the RNIB family.
Across the UK, on Freeview Channel 730 and on smart devices. This is RNIB Connect Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello and welcome to another hour of Tech Talk with me, Stephen Scott, as always. Robin Christofferson is joining me from AbilityNet, of course. He's the host of the Dot to Dot podcast, the Echo Show podcast. I sense a theme with you, Robin Christofferson.
Hello, Stephen. How are you doing?
I am beautiful, as you well know.
Played it straight today.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's right. Well, I thought I'd be honest, you know. I don't like starting with a lie. We're past that point now. Fake news is gone. So it's it. We're back to truth now. We've got to be honest. Andy Wynn's here as well. Hello, Andy.
Hello. Hello to you both. How are you?
Great.
Yeah, good. Good. Tim's not been with us for a couple of weeks. Last week, we couldn't get him on for various reasons. And this week, he's not too well.
Oh,
he'll be well, Tim.
Yeah, get better.
He'll be feeling all right. Hopefully he'll be back with us next week. So, yeah, Tim, best to you. And also with us this week, we have a special guest. Now, Dinos is with us from RNIB's Technology for Life team. Dinos, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself with your second name, because I'll just embarrass myself.
Right. My full name is Dinos Constantino, and I work for the Technology for Life team. It's actually a Greek Cypriot name, so I was actually born over here. But my parents gave me the name Konstantinos Constantino, and out of that I got Dinos to survive at school.
Well, do you know, it's funny, right? Because if I'd known it was Constantinos, I would have just said that. But for some reason, Jaws read it differently in my head. So I thought, I don't even know. It's like there's a girl who works with us here at RNIB, Polina Kohorev, and that's how you say her name. But when Jaws says it, it says Kacharo. And when I said to her, you know, initially when I met her, I said, oh, so you're Polina Kacharo. She was rather upset about it. Yeah. And I thought, I'll never speak to this person again, clearly. So, you know, don't trust what Jaws says, is what I'm saying. Jaws, the screen reader, likes to tell you what it likes. Anyway, Dinos, lovely to have you with us. It is really nice. Because,
Thank you.
One of the reasons we've got you here is to talk about Android. Now, we did a lot of talk last week on Apple, and I had a feeling the inbox might get a few questions and comments regarding that. So Andy, I think it's safe to say that the inbox exploded with interest on that particular show.
Yeah, there were one or two complaining that we do lean heavily towards Apple. It's understandable that we lean towards Apple because of the amount of effort and brilliance that they put into their accessibility. But in balance of fairness, yes, let's see the other side of the fence this week.
Yeah, let's look at the other side of the street. Yes. Anyway, before we get into the other side of the street and in detail anyway on the accessibility front, one of the main reasons I wanted you here was because we were going to talk this week about Samsung. Now, they had an event recently where they announced their new smartphone, and they do this at the start of the year. I kind of like that they do this when they do it, right at the beginning of the year. So it's a real starter for 10. Of what is going to be discussed and what is going to be out there this year. Samsung launching their new S21 phones, from the standard S21 right up to the S21 Ultra, which is, you know, huge phones, not quite the size of the Note, from my understanding, but it's a big phone. And, you know, these phones are kind of built in the same way that the iPhones are. The top-end phones are built for photography, are built for video, you know, they're built for all those things, built for taking pictures of your face repeatedly. That is what these things are built for. If you so desire that, then you have that capability to do it in beautiful 4K or 8K or whatever it is. So some really interesting stuff coming out from Samsung. What was your highlight, Dinos?
Well, with this new phone, I wish I could have it, but funds are not permitting to have something like this, but it is a nice phone. It's a bit smaller than the older model. It's slightly smaller.
I think
it's just slightly smaller. It's standard. I'll give you some of the features on it. And these are, like you said, it's got a fantastic camera, to be honest with you. The camera's got 100x zoom. So I think you can stand across. It will get a picture from a long way away. It's just crazy, the 100x zoom on it. So,
but it's not just the zoom, though, is it?
Yeah, because it's the photography element of it is outstanding.
Yeah,
the resolution on it is very good, but it's got this new thing called 120Hz resolution, which you see on monitors to make everything so much more smoother. If you're sighted, everything just should appear more smoother on it. So when you're navigating up and down or flicking around, it should just be a smoother experience. If your vision permits that to view that effect, yeah. Now, it's a flatter screen as well than the previous one. I think the previous one had the curved edges. This one doesn't seem to have the curved edges. It's more like it's just flat. They've decided to go flat again. So there's no spillover edges, which, to be honest, used to annoy me on the other Samsung phones, the spillover thing. The spillover, a phone display that goes round the phone is just an accident waiting to happen for me.
Yeah.
You know, that means as soon as you drop it, it's dead.
Has it got flat sides like the iPhone 12 now as well or not? Or does it still...
I think it's similar to the iPhone. It's similar to the new iPhone where it's an iPhone where it's like more, they've gone back to, remember the old 4 where there's actually a proper rim round it now. Before it was like smooth. I think this one it looks like it's got more grip to it. When you hold it in your hand, you're going to feel confident.
But, you know, it's interesting you mentioned the camera, Dinos, because one thing that got me out of it from watching the event, and I did you can watch the entire event in like 5 seconds or whatever it is on these videos on YouTube. So I chose that option. Can't think why. But yeah, I was watching it and I thought, that's interesting. They have the ability to use artificial intelligence and onboard computation to actually take an image that's zoomed in. Now, normally, if you take an image where you've zoomed right in, the image quality is awful because you're getting a lot of noise on the screen. It's a lot of digital effect. So you don't get a good, clear picture. What they're doing now is they're actually using AI and using smart technology inside the phone, on board the device, to actually give you a better image overall, which is really, really smart.
Thing is, I just have to mention this with it. It's too smart. If it goes wrong, you have to sort of start focusing the picture again because the picture can get hijacked. So if you're trying to photograph something, which is like, what's the new building that, let's say Empire State Building, and you're doing it from across the river, okay, in America, let's say, and you're zooming in and you're right at the top and it's perfect. And it'll work. It works out, and it's saying, "Yeah, that's the bit I need to focus on." But if you're trying to focus and the subject is slightly moving, or there's another subject like a windmill, like a pout, something slightly moving, like a windmill or something, it'll just keep focusing on that windmill. And the only way to stop it is to sort of start the process again.
Okay, so good advice. Don't take pictures of windmills. I think that's excellent advice.
Pictures of moving objects. It's just,
only things that stand absolutely still.
Like the old days of photography.
I mean, that's where they say the battleground is now. It's in ISP, image signal processing, and how clever they are. It's not about, 48 megapixel camera lenses anymore, or sensors. So
108 megapixel, Robin, on the Samsung.
Okay, maybe
S21
that battle
Ultra
hasn't finished. But I mean, I was just going to say that Google is the crowned king of clever signal processing, where it doesn't get confused by things like that, where it doesn't overexpose, or it doesn't try and massage the pixels too much. But I don't know where Samsung fits in that spectrum.
I think I think Samsung's done a good job with it because they've actually got some overriding features with the photography element of it. But, you know, somebody once heard a comment, and what's the best camera that you can buy? And somebody said, the best camera that you can have is the one that's with you at the time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and exactly.
To
that's
be
right.
Honest with you, to be honest with you, it does. I mean, it does an awesome job, that camera that they've got on that phone. But if you're an Instagram blogger and the rest of it, yeah, it's going to suit you perfectly. For me, I mean, there's only so many pictures that I want to, you know, you just sort of, it is for somebody that's really Instagram, you know, does a lot of social things.
Yeah, that was the advertising side of it that I saw a lot of on the marketing side, was clearly people who enjoy taking pictures of their own face. And if you do like that, then these cameras are perfect for you. You know, I think as well, you know, a lot of people get in touch with us and will also ask the question, I'm sure the same has come to you on the Technology for Life team line, that people will say, well, you know, if I'm looking to buy a new phone, what camera will work best with Be My Eyes or Seeing AI? What's the one that will get me the best at wide angle for, say, Aira? You know, and truthfully, I think the answer is these days, any of them, any camera, any phone.
Yeah, I think I'll tell you the issues that I've had with Android phones. If you go too cheap, I mean, we've picked an S21 today, and I do sort of, you know, for me, I would never, that's not something I'd ever be in the market for. I'm too accident prone to go for something that price. But what I've found is there's a £300 price barrier. Once you break it with the Android phones, the camera's always, you can tell the camera resolution between £150 Motorola G8 to a Huawei P40 Lite at £350. It's just completely, the difference is just night and day.
But I want to ask you about that.
VHS.
Yes, and then DVD.
Just like a bad VHS and DVD.
You, when you say bad VHS, do you mean like the kind you would get down the market on a Saturday afternoon?
Yeah.
That they don't do anymore.
Some of the cheaper Android phones, the pictures they take are just, like the ones that they used to in the good old days when we used to go out of the house and shop.
Oh, those were terrible days. You don't get everything delivered to your house now? What's wrong with you?
I still go out.
I want to ask you a bit about this because budget Android is a really interesting topic. I mean, you know, obviously we talk about the S21 because it's big news at the moment. That's the big story of the moment. But when it comes to... Let me just ask you about this because I want to ask you about budget. Budget Android phones. What is your best advice for someone who is looking to get an Android device at the low end of the market? Because not everybody, we get these emails all the time. People say, I can't afford to buy the latest, you know, Samsung S21 or, you know, whatever it might be. What are the options out there for people?
If you're in the old days, the Motorola range are very good. And if you shop around something like a Moto G9, or if you go for the previous year's model, which is only 6 months old in effect, because I think they change them around nearly twice a year now. So if you go for something like a G9, sometimes you see them for £150, and sometimes Argos do a special on them where all of a sudden they're offloading them for £99.99. They are actually very accessible phones with the screen reader, and they are vanilla Android. So they're near enough Google's version of Android. It's not being doctored. It's near enough the vanilla version that they give to the manufacturers. But the only thing with Motorola is the G9s, you might get one update and that'll be it. If you do spend the money on a phone and you go to the £300 section, you find that you're going to get 2 years guaranteed updates. If you go for a phone below £200, £150, I give you 12 months of updates and I think that'll be it. I don't think you're going to get the operating system updates, but I've got this one that we're talking about today, the S21, I can see you getting updates for that for the next 4 to 5 years.
Well, at that price, I would certainly hope so, yeah.
Yeah. But the other, the cheaper ones, like if you go for a Samsung A50, A51 or something, which I think is a very nice phone, and it's got a good camera on it, it's got an acceptable camera, you're going to get 2 years of updates from Samsung easily.
I want to bring in Andy on this, because Andy, I know you have used Android for a long time, and I'm interested in what you're hearing here from Dinos around that kind of budget end. Where did you start on the Android journey?
I started with an LG phone, the LG V30, I believe. LG in the news because I think they're thinking about pulling out of the phone market. I know we were talking about this earlier in the week. Mine was cost reason. I mean, going into the Apple ecosystem, you do end up spending a lot of money, especially if you want all the accessories, all the add-ons as well. And yeah, I
hang on. I'm just checking my credit card bill. Yes, you're right.
Is it burning hot? Is it? It's on fire.
My card is red.
Yes. And there's a lot more on offer from Android, whether you want to go with the Samsung Galaxy S21. I'm looking at the Ultra one and seeing all of the cameras involved there. If you're not fussed about camera, I'd agree with Dinos. Looking at the Moto range, the Moto G Power came out last year, I believe. That's got a fantastic battery life on it. I seem to remember reading that the Moto G Power had battery life for days, and that's going to cost you. That's in the under the £300 market as well. So this is the benefit of Android. If you switch to Android, you get good phones, sometimes great phones, without breaking the bank. And you get a much wider range if you can go from LG, or you can do what I did and switch to Huawei, which comes with its own headaches, unfortunately. Nothing to do with the phone and the quality of the phone, which is fantastic. And it's now coming up to 2 years old, and it'll probably last me another 2 years as well on top of that. But you're getting such a variety from Android. And the issue is if you then think, oh, well, I'd like the Apple Watch, or you'd like maybe a pair of the smart buds or something like that from Apple. It's a lot easier if you have an Apple phone. Trying to pair up a watch with an Android phone is, that's when you start getting a bit complicated. So if you're going Android, go Android all the way. That's what I say. As I say with the other argument as well. If you're going Apple, go Apple all the way.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, Robin, I mean, I want to talk to Dinos in a second about accessibility on these devices, because obviously we know that it has got the screen reading capability, the zoom magnification features that you will find in an iPhone. Why did you choose iPhone over Android from your perspective? Or did you make that choice? Was it made for you, or did you fall into it?
It was made for me because when the 3GS came out, VoiceOver was an option, and that was prior to Android and certainly Android accessibility. So, if for those people that sort of jumped on very early on, they're probably still going to be Apple people, or maybe not. Maybe they switched over to Android. But yeah, I mean, there's so much choice. I've said this before, though, and it's not going to go down well on an Android-focused show. But, if cost is the prohibitive factor, then you can get cheaper iPhones as well. You can go in with the entry level, or you could get a refurbished model, or you could look at it as an investment and try and get some sort of financing, because they will last a long time. The support that we've been talking about is consistently around the 4 or 5 versions of iOS that is supported. So it's not that the phone will stop working. It's that you might think, oh, well, I've had this for 4 or 5 years now. I'm not going to be able to get any more updates. So, I might go to the next phone. Unless your name is Steven.
Yeah, the news came out this week. Yes, the news came out this week that iOS 15 will not support the original iPhone SE or the iPhone 6S.
Yeah. So how old is the 6S?
Gives you a sense of
5 years old.
That's it. So it gives you a sense of how long the ecosystem lasts in that regard. But again, going back to the Android question, Dinos, when it comes to accessibility, I mean, and it's really interesting. I just want to say quickly about Moto, because my first experience of Android was with a Moto. I think it was a G5, and I remember thinking, this is actually a lot better than I thought it would be. And then every experience I had beyond that wasn't quite as good in that bracket, not Moto phones, but actually, other brands. And I just find it really interesting now to hear you talk about Motorola, because it is the lower end of the scale, certainly more affordable, but just as good. Talk about some of those accessibility features that perhaps people might not be aware of that the Android phone is capable of and what it can do.
I'm going to go back to this S21, and it's got a feature where it's actually got a proper feature now where you can invert the colour scheme properly on it. Now that, believe it or not, has not been, the dark mode feature on Android has been a little, it's not been right.
Mm.
It's not been right on any Android device, the dark mode feature. It's just lacking for me. But this one, I need to get my hands on it, because this S21, it looks like they've cracked it.
I promise you, no matter how many times you say that, they're not going to send you one listening to this show, because I've tried for years.
I think they've cracked it, because I've got other dark modes on other labs, you know, tablets and phones, and it's always been experimental mode. I think they've gone beyond
just,
the experimental
just to be clear,
mode
it's not dark mode, is it? Because it's what they say, invert colours. You've got that on the iPhone as well, but that's different to dark mode, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it just worked. They've struggled with it, but I think they've sussed it now. I think from looking at it, and you know, from having it demonstrated to me, I think they've sussed it. I know on other things that I've had, it's not worked particularly well. It's not been a throughout experience through the phone. It's just been a bit hit and miss.
But to be very clear, that's Samsung have done that, or is that
Samsung? I think it's right. Samsung's own have done that. I think that's a Samsung. Samsung have really pushed that bit out.
And they have built a lot of accessibility features into their own products.
Yeah, they have. They've the one thing with the Samsung is, this is years ago, okay? We had a colleague, and I think I've got his Samsung S7 now. And his Samsung S7, I think I had a Motorola G2. And the accessibility in the talkback, it was okay when I first got it. I tried it. It worked all right. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't fluid. For example, calculator, you're going 1 to 10. You'd miss numbers out, or it skipped to different numbers. It wasn't as fluid as the iPhone was. But on the Samsung S7, it was more fluid. So I don't know what it is. You get more, I think they're more fluid when the screen readers are on, when you spend a little bit more money. But I have found the latest, that my last Motorola was a G8. And to be quite honest with you, it was pretty reactive, and it did a pretty good job on the screen reader element.
Let's talk about those features, though, because you're talking about Samsung specifically, and they do have, as you say, their own accessibility features in there. But what about general vanilla Android? What do you get in terms of accessibility?
You don't really get the change the font sizes. You can actually get the experimental dark mode on mine, I think, on the previous one I had. You get the talkback, but what you get is the opportunity to go to the Play Store and download apps that will help you customize your interface and make the interface even easier for you to use. And that's why I stick with Android. I like the idea that you're not stuck with that Apple screen. You've got a screen that you can customize to your own liking.
Okay, so give me an example then of something you can do that you can't do on an Apple iPhone.
An Apple is really locked down on the interface, okay? It is what it is.
Not
you can
anymore.
Change, you can, well, can you? Okay.
Kind of.
Thank you for...
I know, Android is like infinitely flexible. I'll totally give you that.
Yeah, it's just that flexibility where I can go out and I can download something like Big Launcher, and then I can change the interface of the phone. And I've actually gone into low vision clinics and sat outside the low vision clinics. And, you know, I had customers that basically, I've got an Android phone, can you help me? And I've put Big Launcher on for them, or something similar that's no longer around now. And it's really helped them. It's just brought, it's made everything more defined.
So give me some detail on that, because I don't know what that is. What is Big Launcher?
Big Launcher's a piece of, it's biglauncher.com, and it's a piece of software that's made by, I've forgotten the guy's name, he's Czech. He lives in the Czech Republic. And he makes the software, and he's had to break the software up into three different modules. So before, you'd go and buy the software from him, and it was just Big Launcher, and it came with, it used to change the front face of your interface to five tiles, five very informative tiles that really, you knew what was going on with your battery, you knew what the time was, you knew if you had a text message, it gave you good information. And it used to have a big SMS, fantastic little, so it used to skin the text messaging app with big SMS and a big phone dialer. And it just used to simplify your contacts and so on. Everything just used to shout at you. And you had the ability to give it something like a bit of a supernova color scheme to it if you wanted. You know, like a bit of a Dolphin supernova software color screen to it. Okay. So you had different, you could play around with colors. I personally just liked the inverted colors. I just liked the white text on black background because it worked for me. And to be honest, it worked for 99%. I never met anybody that didn't like it. It just seemed to shout out at you when you, whatever you were doing, it was just really clear. And what I liked about it was the price of three cups of coffee at a Starbucks.
That's a fortune, isn't it?
Yeah. yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, it's a meal in some places, but you know.
So Dinos, you've obviously got vision. The invert colours, because I think this is quite a useful area just to explore very quickly. Yeah. Smart invert colours on iOS doesn't just flip everything round, because before the advent of smart invert, images just looked weird. They were like the negatives of their own. And if something happened to be, you know, light text on a black background, that would get flipped around, and people didn't want that. They just want always, you know, lighter text on a dark background. So then smart invert came along. It's not perfect, but it tries intelligently to decide whether to flip something. Is there that on either Samsung or stock Android?
I don't think there is. The last time I checked that, there's still issues with that. And sometimes I seem to feel, correct me if I'm wrong here, sometimes I think like I've been in a dream and it worked and then it's been taken away from it, and then I'm thinking, but that used to work. But I don't, you know, it's just one of those, that's that, even with these apps that you put on, it's not perfect. Like for example, the Big Launcher app is, it does certain elements of it. It's not going to change the internet on your phone. It's not going to change the appearance of WhatsApp. But the basic navigation around the phone to an app and the basic navigation of texting and making a phone call, it brings it back to you. And at the end of the day, it makes the phone in that way usable.
And I think that dark mode was so welcome by people that prefer a dark colour scheme, because that had the promise of doing it well. And that would be the answer if every app reflected dark mode, you know, which still isn't the case, and hence there's still a need to have an invert colors, hopefully doing it in an intelligent way. So yeah, for people that have that preference, it's still a little bit kludgy, it sounds like, on both platforms.
Yeah, I think that seems to be an ongoing issue. I want to talk about, you mentioned Big Launcher, and I know we got an email in, Andy, about this very topic recently. It's been a bit of an ongoing conversation, actually.
So, just to briefly explain, I don't know if we've actually defined what the launcher is, because if anyone's not using an Android phone, it might be a bit foreign to them to find out what a launcher is. A launcher is an app that you can install on your phone which acts as the interface on the home screen. So it's almost, if you want to use a computer comparison, it's almost like personalizing your phone's desktop if you're using a Windows machine. So you can have different things on the home screen. As Dinos is mentioning there with a Big Launcher, you put your phone, your email, your camera, your pictures, text messages, and have all of those things on the homepage. You Apple users will be able to confirm that that's recently new with iOS as well. Something similar has come in with iOS.
Widgets, yeah. But still, you're limited compared to the infinite number of launchers you can reskin your phone with. But yeah.
Yes, so
at least we've got some options now.
On a previous episode of Tech Talk, I brought up the fact that on my Android phone, I use Nova Launcher, which is probably one of the most frequently downloaded and most often used. And that comes with its own settings, so I can personalize the homepage. I can personalize my own swipes and gestures on the screen. So two fingers down on the screen will bring up my bank app. Two fingers up will bring up my Huawei earbuds app as well, and there are various other different things as well. So we were bringing this up, and Negative Julian, yes, got in contact with us. Negative Julian, he'd emailed in before. He says, "Hello gentlemen, I just listened to podcast 353 and I heard you read out an email I sent some time ago about the subject of Android replacement launchers. It was so long ago that I wrote that I thought that it had been filed in the recycle bin. I am not complaining about that. I have no delusions either my literacy or tech prowess. But having heard it read, I feel obliged to issue a warning about one of the things that I have said. Specific mention was made of Nova Launcher. At the time, I had only been using that app for a few days, and I was impressed by its power and its performance. But since then, I have discovered a significant flaw. Nova works fine with TalkBack in all respects, until you try to install a widget." Quickly, to define, a widget is something that sits on your home screen, so you can set up a calendar, a weather widget, anything along those lines. Julian continues, "Then it crashes big time with TalkBack. It tends to freeze, but much worse, it totally mutes TalkBack. This is not a disaster. Long pressing the power button will force a restart, and that will bring everything back in good order. But I can imagine that that would scare the pants off someone less confident than me. So be warned. Keep your pants on. No worries, other launchers are available. I'm currently playing with CPL and I've had good results from Pear Launcher as well, although for some reason it does run very slow on one particular phone. In response to Robin's comment, I do rely on TalkBack to use my phone. I play around with icons, wallpapers, etc., because it does allow me to be fractionally more efficient in hitting icons first time rather than feeling for them. Apart from the aforementioned issue with Nova, I have experienced no major conflicts with the screen reader. Finally, any potential Android users out there, please, please do not be deterred by little problems that I have mentioned above. I fully accept that iOS is very stable and powerful, and if you want it to work, etc. But one of the reasons I have stuck with Android is the sheer joy of being able to reshape a phone in the device that I want it to be. This, combined with relative cheapness, has allowed me to experiment in all sorts of ways. For example, I have repurposed an old phone into a dedicated media device. Audiobooks, music player, internet radio and FM radio, all on the home screen of a device that now lives on my bedside cabinet with wired earphones permanently plugged in. Like many blind people, I suffer from non-24, and it is just so convenient to be able to reach out at 3 o'clock in the morning and know that some entertainment will be there. I've also repurposed an elderly tablet into a dedicated audiobook downloader and processor to get books onto USB memory sticks for my Sovereign Reader. But I have gabbled on for far too long. Stay well, stay prosperous. That is from Negative Julian."
And that's his name. He calls himself Negative Julian. We don't call
him
that.
We gave him a regal name, did we not? I'm pretty sure Negative Julian.
Not King Julian, or
he was
Julian
the Second. Yes, yes.
That's from Madagascar, I think, isn't it? King Julian. Anyway,
is that a movie? Are you talking about films? You've never talked about films. Is that a film reference from you?
The kids were watching and I was passing through.
Yeah, right. Okay, interesting. I mean, yeah, I think there's a lot in that, obviously, to unpack. Dinos, feel free to pick up on anything there. But I mean, I think there's obviously a lot he said regarding the launchers, the age of the technology, the ability to use it, you know, down the line. There's a lot of really interesting stuff that he says there about that.
I have played with Nova Launcher, but I wasn't particularly, you know, sometimes... The playing about with the interface is just not enough. It's like you want it to, you know, it was for me, I sort of, yeah, I can see where they're coming from, but it didn't work for me. I know with things like it didn't really do any more than what it didn't do something that I really wanted it to do. Now, I've just occurred to me while we've been listening to this conversation now. With Android and Braille devices, I think, you know, we sell the Orbit Reader at the RNIB, don't we? Which is a very popular little Braille book reader and note taker. It connects. Yeah. It's absolutely, I can't explain to you, it's a joy to watch somebody use it with an iPhone, how it connects and how they interact with their iPhone with it. It's just excellent. It just works really well. Hmm. It doesn't work as well with Android. Android's still got, you know, with connected devices, I do think the iPhone, just the fact that your Bluetooth speakers, more chance of connecting on an iPhone than an Android phone. And I've tried a lot of Android phones, but the Brailleback software that I had to put on for the Orbit Reader to connect, and then I found it a little bit clunky. But that's, you know, if you're doing Braille and you're thinking, I need a smartphone, I'm really sorry. I'd love to say an Android smartphone's going to do the trick for you. I really would love to say that, but I can't say that. In all honesty, it's, you know, on the iPhone, it's just a smoother, more just a seamless experience.
They have, I mean, in fairness to Google, I know they've even admitted themselves they're a bit behind on this, and it's something they're working on. I think it's also important to say at this point, you know, one of the reasons that we talk about Apple a lot is because, you know, Robin and I, Tim as well, we're all Apple users, with the exception of Andy, obviously. But, you know, we'll get him on board at some point. But, you know, one of the things for me is that it's about trying to let people know about what obviously we use and what we do. And the reason we use the Apple products is because it is more, I would say, it's more fully developed, I think is the best way to put it. But that's only because of age. If Android accessibility was around, and you've said this already, Robin, if Android accessibility had been around as long as Apple has, with accessibility and voiceover and talkback had been the same age, we would expect both to be exactly the same. But I think we have to let Google off a little bit on this because it is in that development phase. Do you agree with that, Robin, or do you think I'm
out of line? They are closing the gap, but how many years do they want to do that? You know, I mean, single gestures, single finger, it didn't even support, you know, you had these amazing phones often, you know, I'm not going to deny it, the hardware on the, you know, really broad range of Android phones is gorgeous. And iPhones have always looked very, very similar and really quite conservative. So I think the the hardware kind of knocks Apple products out of the park. But you know, and you've got these fantastic screens with, you know, 60 hertz refresh rates now, 120. And obviously they can support multi-finger gestures, but TalkBack didn't. And why? You know, for years and years and years.
But it does now.
And yeah, exactly. But how long? And Brailleback, is that still a separate download? I mean, you know, where's the, you know, holistic, joined up prioritization of inclusion that you see with Apple?
But that's an internal issue,
yeah,
isn't it?
I'm glad it's closing
that's an issue. That's an issue with the company and the way that they operate. I mean, Apple clearly have got a defined approach to this. They have their accessibility team and they work across a wide range of things. Don't get me wrong, I mean, Apple have had their issues with Braille along the way as well. It's never really, it's had its issues, it's not been perfect. It has improved a lot. They've clearly worked on it. I hope that Google does the same with Brailleback and, you know, makes it work better. And I think that probably will happen. I mean, last year, I remember a lot of talk around Brailleback and the improvements they had tried to make. Dinos, you know, you're obviously maybe not using this on a daily basis, but you're speaking to people who are. What are you hearing from customers, their experiences of this? You know, you're saying that the experience isn't that great. Brailleback in particular?
The Orbit Reader, I've got customers, I'm going to be honest with you, I get customers ringing me up and they go, they mention you guys and you're always pushing the iPhone and I've got an Android phone and I live in, and I'm happy with my phone. And yeah, it has moved on, but with the Braille, I'm going to have to put my hand up and say, I'm going to be honest, it doesn't do the job like it does it on an iPhone. But the TalkBack has moved on now. And I think the TalkBack, you know, I've got customers using it and they're using it very well.
Okay.
And that's been the case for a long time. You know, it has been a viable choice for ages. But I would love to see, and as a side note, I'm quite interested that we've never mentioned, nobody's kind of rang the bell for, you know, the Pixel products, which are Google's own ones, which, you know, you could argue are kind of the equivalent to the Apple products.
I actually think they're very good as well.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, they've never been on anyone's kind of top tip list. But, you know, look at what is now available in the newer hardware and software, you know, with LiDAR and worldview and seeing AI and people detection and all this stuff. You know, I'd love to see that come to Android because their hardware is so good. But, you know, when we see that and when we can really say, yeah, there's an equivalence there, that'll be a brilliant day, won't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like you said earlier, Robin, you know, I'm very jealous of my friends, including Andy here, who, you know, I've seen his new phone because I went along and forced them to buy it. That's a bit harsh. Well, I didn't force you to buy it. I just suggested strongly that you should consider buying one because I was.
You were making a suggestion to buy a new phone, and I was choosing between the Huawei and the Samsung that was out at the time. And it was.
And I was getting hungry.
I wanted
out of the shop to go and get food. And I said, come on, hurry up, just buy something, will you?
The truth is, you wandered off to the Apple store. Did you or did you not?
True, yes,
when I was
true.
I was sat I did, in my yes. Mobile phone provider's store, you went, right, I'm off to Apple.
I'll meet you there.
Yes.
Dinos, I just want to ask you quickly about this, because this is something that I've been talking about for a while on the show, and I want to get your take on it, because, you know, I've been saying it, I want to know if I'm right or wrong here. But my experience has been that Samsung devices have got great screens on them. And
that's correct.
So it's really good screens. And I wonder, for those with low vision, the ability to raise the text size up and all of that, you know, that's a really powerful tool to have. It's something that the iPhone hasn't quite caught up with yet, I think, from the low vision perspective. Large dynamic type only works on some apps, not all of them, whereas it seems to work fairly universally across Android. So when I say to people, maybe it's time, if you're low vision, to consider Android. If you've got no vision, maybe consider Apple. What's your view on that?
That's correct. That's what I would normally go for. I would go for that view. If they could go for something like an iPhone SE 2 and they had no vision, then that is my de facto standard recommendation. If they want to go for the Android, it would be something a little bit more. The screen quality, though, I think Samsung have just got it sussed out with their OLED screens. They're just a sharper screen. And you know something? If you start with a sharper base image, you're always going to get more when you're pinching and zooming and doing what you're doing. You've got something sharper than starting with a bad VHS screen.
Oh, we're back to the market tapes again.
Back to the market tapes. But I just think it's a good comparison.
When I
first started, I remember inheriting some handheld video magnifiers, and I actually picked them up a couple of years ago and couldn't believe how bad the quality is of them. How things have moved on.
It's so funny you say that. I had a situation a couple of months ago where I was clearing out my loft, and I had an old CCTV up in the loft, and it was one of the old CRT CCTVs. So you know, it had the big screen and the magnifier obviously below it.
Yeah.
And the image quality was shocking. And I thought, this has probably made my vision worse over the years using this. No, it helped it at all.
Yeah.
And as soon as you move the table, it goes all blurry.
That's right.
As you scroll the text. Yeah.
Look, it's been really interesting discussing this with you. I want to get to some other emails before we round up the show here. But I think this is a really interesting topic, Dinos. And I think that, you know, we'll have lots of questions coming in to our show here, but also to you as well on the Technology for Life team. And for those who want to contact, I mean, because, you know, we're here, of course, and we'll do our best to answer questions. We work with you guys, of course, to come up with features and content for the show. And you very kindly do that for us on Tech Talk. But, you know, your service is available, you know, and it's available to anyone who needs it, who's blind or partially sighted, and it can really go more in depth on those really specific questions people might have around technology. How can people get in touch with the Technology for Life team, Dinos?
Just through the helpline, 0303 123 9999, and ask for the Technology for Life team. I actually prefer to talk to people rather than emails, because you always express yourself better, I think, through the phone than an email.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Look, stay with us. We're going to get into some emails now. Andy, I dread to ask how many pages of emails we have, but let's get to them.
Email, we get email, we get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Right,
17 is the answer.
Oof. Oh, seven. Come on, what? All right, okay, let's get into it then.
You'll like this first one. This is from Svetlana, who has some comments on episodes back 349 and 350. Hello, Stephen, Robin, Andy, and Tim. Is the jingle going to keep going? Is it fade? Oh, there we go. Right, good.
Hello, Svetlana.
Svetlana, I am your long-standing listener from Russia. Siberia, to be more precise. And lots of people in different countries still believe that no one lives in Siberia. But just so you know, the population of my city is over 1.5 million people. But that's not what I wanted to email about. My email is related to an episode 349. You were talking about Braille and Braille displays. I can't imagine my life without a Braille display. I can use a screen reader only, but it slows me down a lot. Most of the times I combine Braille and speech, but quite often I just turn the speech off and rely exclusively on Braille. For example, when I'm presenting, and I hope so much that business trips will become possible again soon because I miss it a lot, and I'm able to control my slides. Other example is lecturing in my class at the university. Believe it or not, we have lots of universities in Siberia. I can just look at my Braille display for my notes. I work for an AT company, and often when I'm on the phone with a customer, I'm not distracted by speech while I quickly look some information up. I also have a visual memory. Sounds weird for a blind woman, but that's the fact. That was Svetlana saying it, not me. And it's important for me to have words under my fingers to imprint in my memory. English is not my native language, obviously, but Braille has helped me a lot to reach a good level of spelling. When someone asks me to spell a word, I just imagine it under my fingers. I can spell correctly even such difficult words like queue, inconvenience, and definitely. Svetlana, a perfect English, and even I have trouble with definitely, I'm afraid.
Yeah, me too.
I use Braille about 12 hours a day every workday. Wow. And I'm extremely grateful to my employer for providing a 40-cell Braille display for my work. It increases my productivity immensely. To comment a bit on the episode 350, I think I'll still go for an iPhone SE 2020 because $300 extra is too much for this part of the world, and I'm not ready to give up on a Touch ID yet. So we did sneak in Apple towards the end. There you go. P.S. Stephen, and your interview with the AT Banter guys you did was excellent. Keep up a wonderful job on your sparkling show. I enjoy it a lot. Warm regards from Svetlana in Novosibirsk.
Oh, well, there you go. I've got to say, the AT Banter guys are great fun to go on with. So, yeah, really good being on there with them. You know, it's a really interesting topic because Braille is so valuable to, you know, so many people. And it's one of those topics that comes up. And, you know, Robin, I know we've been trying desperately to get you into Braille. I even tried to get you onto the Braille class. You know, your workplace even provided you with a Braille display. How's it all going?
While Andy was reading that.
Is that a bus passing by?
While Andy was reading that email, I was feeling my Braille display. It's not actually switched on, though. I'll tell you why, though. I unplug it.
I'm going to help you here, right? I'm going to help you with something. See if you turn it on. It's amazing how it works, right? Braille appears on it.
Is that the idea?
Yeah.
The reason why I don't have it switched on during recording is that it's actually quite noisy. If it refreshes, you guys would hear it. So
that's
why I turned it off.
A really noisy device as well.
Yeah.
But it's helpful. No, it's brilliant. That's the thing, right? In those educational environments, especially the kind of work we do, having something like that where you can take notes, get notes, you know, available to you without having to listen to JAWS, it's very off-putting. And I know a lot of people, we've had these comments before, people say they don't like being on a call and having to deal with JAWS because it's actually quite ignorant in some ways. You know, people don't understand on the other end, and it is quite ignorant. You know, if you were having a conversation with someone and you were continually going, Hang on, what? As I do with Andy all the time when we were back in the office in the good old days, you know, I'm trying to listen to something and, you know, be like, hang on a minute, hang on. You know, that would be really off-putting and it is annoying. So that's one of the things I wanted to learn Braille for. But again, like you've just said, literacy, so important. It's the real reason to have it. It shouldn't even be a choice. I think, you know, all people who are visually impaired should be getting Braille at school.
Basics,
the
definitely.
Problem is, it's not something that's done, unfortunately, because like I was, it was an optional thing for my blind friends at school. They were, you know, pretty much it was the only option for them, and quite rightly so, you know. And those people have gone on to be one friend in particular went off, you know, become a lawyer, you know, and he says himself, I couldn't have done this without Braille. So interesting.
Yeah, and I've been getting a kick out of brushing up on my grade two, and all I did was open a text file with a, you know, something interesting to read, and just reading it and thinking, oh blimey, that's what the contraction for that is it, you know. Yeah, because I know what the text is, I can use JAWS to read it, and I can just see what the equivalent is on the Braille display, and oh, I'm learning, you know, all my contractions again. So you don't actually have to go through the fingerprint course or something if you have a Braille display at your disposal and are able to, you know, bring up some text, start with uncontracted, learn the grade one, and then take it from there.
Okay, let's get another email. And I should say, was it Svetlana?
Svetlana, yes. We have another one, but I'm going to save Svetlana's second for next week, I think.
Okay.
This next one is from Craig. Hi, now you probably know this already. After a long time working with my local council, Button by Neatbox is installed in all pedestrian crossings in Irvine. As a visually impaired person and a guide dog owner, I am always looking at ways to improve my experience whilst out and about. The app works amazingly well, and even better, it's free. Once installed, you do nothing else. The app works in the background with Bluetooth, and you never have to either find or touch a button, which is great in these times. Even more beneficial when people are not keen to touch services. I would recommend this, and hopefully with the assistance of your local council, it could be installed in more towns, making visits to other places even easier. Keep up the good work. That's from Craig and Guide Dog Merlin. So somebody needs to explain the Button by Neatbox.
Yeah, so this is a project that's been ongoing. We've talked about it quite a lot on RNIB Radio here, especially around the product maker Gavin Neat, who created this. Essentially, it is a system which is it has to be a hardware that's built into the pedestrian crossing. And then what happens is you have a companion app that you can download, and then you can actually control the crossing. So if you can't find the button, and actually in COVID times, this actually is ingenious because you don't. You know, you might not want to touch the button. That's the point, right? So you don't have to at all. You can just get your phone out, open the app, and when you get near the box, you'll be alerted to the fact you're next to it and or near in the vicinity of it, and you can just press the button so that the lights will activate. And then, of course, once the green man comes on and the beeps go, I think even in areas where there are no beeps, the phone will beep instead. So, you know, you get that audible feedback that way. So if the crossing doesn't have beeps, it's provided for you and you know it's safe to cross. So a really, really good project going on. The first town that really got it was that town in Irvine in Ayrshire in Scotland. So we'll see how it develops over time, hoping we get more towns taking that on. So, yeah, very interesting. Right, short of time, as we always are. So let's get another email.
Ken Takahashi in California asks, hello all, I heard rumours that the Apple HomePod Mini will not pair with the HomePod Big. Thank you. This is Ken from California. So can anyone quash those rumours?
Ken, using the right language. Yes, unfortunately you're right, Ken. The HomePod Small doesn't pair with the HomePod Big, unfortunately. But you can pair HomePod Bigs and HomePod Smalls together. That is the way it works, which kind of makes sense when you think about it. And I'm pretty sure, Robin, it's the same with the Echoes. The Echo Small, Echo Dot, no Echo Small, the Echo Dot can pair with an Echo Dot, but not with an Echo Medium or Big.
Yeah, they don't want a stereo pair to be uneven, basically.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get another email. Thanks, Ken.
Lynn would like some help regarding adhesive keyboard stickers that we talked about a few months ago. She says, I listen to Tech Talk as a podcast, and the other week someone emailed about using adhesive stickers on the keyboard instead of bump-ons. It sounded like a good idea because I use a laptop, so when closing the lid, I think it would be a better solution. I thought I'd saved the information, but I'm unable to find it. One of the emails mentioned about buying Velcro and then cutting it into size, but it wasn't that email. That may have been the reply to the original one. I enjoy the show, and I also enjoy the jingles for the emails. Kind regards, that's from me.
Dinos, that's an interesting one.
It's an interesting one, that one. We do sell the fluid, don't we, that you can actually just brush onto the... just to create your own type of bump-ons. I'm sure we sell something...
That's the Tactimark, isn't it?
I think that's where I'm... because I'm thinking the other things, but the other label things are not going to work in this particular... They're looking for something more tactile, aren't they?
And I'll tell you, my experience has been, and I got these from R&IB years ago, and I love them, and I actually got them because a friend of mine told me that she got them for her laptop, because what she didn't want to happen was when she closed the laptop lid, the bump-ons would actually maybe damage the screen potentially. So I got these things called Lock Dots, L-O-C Dots, and you can get them from R&IB. It's a couple of quid for a packet, and you know, you get six in the pack. You can obviously buy more if you want, but you know, it's a really useful thing because then it gives you the ability to put those bump-ons on. I use them actually on everything. I love them because they're not too big. They don't detract. Cause some of the bump-ons can be just a bit big, can't they?
They are. Some of them are just a very they're quite hefty. Actually, they're 3-4 mil or something in depth.
Yeah.
So I know the ones you mean, and we do sell at the R&IB sell a collection of these bump-ons, but also I have known people, I've gone to societies and met people that have gone to Hobbycraft and bought little items off Hobbycraft and used them on their phones and stuff to help them with navigating around the phone. Very small little things. And they've just done the job with a slight impression on it, and it's just been enough.
Well, one quick nod to the R&IB pen friend, which I've been using a lot recently. I've been doing a lot of work in the house I mentioned last week about my new mixing desk I've got, and you know, I love it, but you know, I've had to label all the cables, and I've done it through the R&IB pen friend, which is an amazing piece of kit. But yes, just a quick look before we go, because we're out of time, but I just want to quickly say hi to the guys at the Galloway Society for the Blind. They very kindly asked me to go on to one of their Tech Talk at 3 events that they have every week, and I got the chance to meet some great people, and it was just an absolute joy. So thank you so much for inviting me on. I can't wait to come back and talk to them soon. I'm available for everything: letter openings, bar mitzvahs, anything you want. I'm here and available, and of course my fee is always chocolate. So listen, that is it for me and the guys this week. Thank you so much to Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet. Thank you as always.
Thanks, guys.
Andy Wynn emails Andy. Thank you.
Thank you.
And our special guest, Dinos Constantino. There you go. I got it in the end. Thank you to you too.
Brilliant. Thank you.
And don't forget, Tech Talk is back next week at the same time as always. And you can get in touch with the show by emailing techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Catch you next time.